Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
One of the reasons I keep talking about the fire, the Holy Spirit, the move of God, because my first-hand experience, I remember I became a Christian in 1981. And after that time, I tried to study Bible. I'm a very studious man. I study Bible all the time. I know a lot of Bible. I studied Bible since I was a young Christian. The first 5 books of the Bible, and then go on and on, study and know a lot of the Bible. But I still struggle all this year, even though I was a pastor. I mean, I'm not saying that you should not study the Bible. You should know the Bible. I and my wife really have difficulties in marriage. We really want to move on with God, and we really want to grow and become the type of Christians that God wants us to be. But we could not. We struggle with doubt, with relationship, with a lot of bad attitudes and thinking and a lot of negative things, could not love people, could not forgive people, even though we know it's right to love people. We know it's right to forgive people. And we repent and repent, but we could not do it. Until 1995, when somebody handed me a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I read that book in the airplane going to Thailand to a pastoral meeting. I could not put the book down. I read about how the Holy Spirit was working in Benny Hinn's ministry and Benny Hinn's life. And at that point, my spiritual eyes opened up and say, oh, what I lacked is the work of the Holy Spirit in me. I just know only the word, but I don't have the relationship. And I did not allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life. After that trip, I came back home. I asked my secretary to call to look. Now I look for the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I know what to do is to fly to Toronto. I flew to Toronto. At that time, there was a revival in Toronto. I went there. They lay hand on me. And I was stuck on the floor like this because I did not understand about falling down at that time. I saw people fall down and I didn't understand. So I was stuck on the floor, could not move until somebody put me down on the floor. I was so tired. I could not move, stuck like this. For a long time, somebody put me down on the floor. And I could not move for another 1 hour on the floor. After that day, I started to change. Then I looked for Benny Hinn Church. I flew to Orlando and ran to the front to be prayed for by Benny Hinn. When he lay hand on me, I feel like electricity, like something zapped on me, just zoo, and I fell down. But they put me up right away because they did not have any space for people to lie down for a long time. I don't like that because I want to be there with the Holy Spirit, but I come out right away. I walk out of there drunk in the Holy Spirit. Then I kept going to his ministry, kept going to the Benny Hinn ministry, stand in the line for 3 hours to get in just to be there, to be in the presence of God, because I didn't know how to bring the presence of God. I did not know how to hook up to the Holy Spirit. I did not have understanding at all. I start to study about anointing, about the presence of God, because I knew that that was lacking in my life. Until 1997, we have a church camp here. And a minister from Australia came. His name is Pastor Holland. He came to that meeting, and I just came back from Toronto. So he and I both talked about the Holy Spirit. And in that camp, 1996, in that camp, the Holy Spirit was moving so strong. In one night when we were all stand and worship God, the whole room fell under the power. Pam, 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 pam. Everyone fell under the power. And I was one of them. I was standing and just feel like a light bulb just hit me and just fell under the power. And after that camp, the church started to change and many things happened. I didn't have time to explain to you. When I got up, I talked to Pastor Holland. This is good. I need to learn more about this thing. I didn't fully understand yet. And then Pastor Holland said, there was a man from South Africa went to Australia. His name is Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. He came to Australia and he lined up all the pastors. Everyone got touched by God. After that, the church grew double, triple. Every church revival happened. Even one young boy, 7 years old, come up to get prayed for by Pastor Rodney. Hello? And after that, after this young boy was touched by the fire of God, he pulled up this young boy to lay hand on the adults on the stage. And all this adult fell under the power. After that, this young boy went back to school on Monday. He walked in. This is a true story. He walked into the classroom. All the teachers and all the students fell under the power. So the anointing rested on this young boy for many days. And revival broke out in that church in Melbourne, Australia. When I heard that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You need to go to learn about the fire of God from this man. Right away, I and my wife and my mom, we drove to Portland, Oregon. And in that meeting, I didn't understand what he said at all. He was speaking with thick accent. I didn't understand the accent of the South African pastor. He talked something over my head. I couldn't understand about the anointing, the fire, all these things. I couldn't understand because I never heard before. The only thing I know is that I was sitting there. I say, whenever he called, I'm going to run out the first man to be prayed for. That's all I know. I didn't understand, but I was going to run out the first man. That's what I did. I was sitting there waiting to run to the front. And then he said, Pastor, come out here. All the pastor. He called pastor first. I was number two. Even though I was smaller than most American pastors, I just went out so fast. I was number two in the line. The first one, I think, is the evangelist, woman evangelist. He lay hand. When he touched my head, I just yield and fell on the ground. And in 2 seconds, I felt something inside of me here, in my tummy. Started to rise up, and I was laughing like a crazy man. My wife got up and looked at me and said, my husband, what happened to my husband? He was like a crazy man. He was laughing. I was laughing and like this until my tummy was so hurt. Because I was laughing for a long time. So after that day, I was totally changed. And then I began to learn and study about the fire of God. And after that time, I and my wife, Da, kept going into the fire, kept going to the meeting. We flew to another city. At that time, we didn't know how to bring the fire of God to the church yet because we still knew. And we kept going back. And I tell you, all this, how many years now? 10 years. He, or the Holy Spirit, has changed our life so much. Even to today, He's still changing me. Every day when we are walking in the fire of God, He changes. He changed my wife. Thank God He changed my wife. No, at opposite. She said that, thank God He changed my husband. Amen. Actually, God changed both of us. That's why the family got better. Everything got better in every area. Finances, the ministry, God used me stronger. We see more miracles in the church happen, more healing, more people saved. Things start to change in our life. And until to today, I am convinced that this is for the end time church. The Bible says that the glory of the end time church will be greater than the early church. The word glory or kabod, K-O-B-O-D, mean the manifest presence, thick presence of God. The end time church that will cater or welcome the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the church like that 5 wise virgin that have the oil ready to welcome the groom. The church that welcome the Holy Spirit gonna be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to be that kind of church. I want the fire of God to be in the church. I want to welcome the Holy Spirit all the days of my life. If you give me $1 million, if you give me $10 million, if you say that, Pastor Lau, I will give anything you want. If you quit bringing the fire of God to the church, I will say, sorry, it's too late. I will not exchange the fire of God with even $1 million. I cannot sell my conviction. I cannot sell this thing. I'm convinced that every believer will need the word and the thick presence of God. Need the touch of God. Amen. And if you study about the lives of a lot of prominent men and women who has done a lot of great things in the body of Christ, like Hudson Taylor or Derek Prince or even Joyce Meyer. Do you know that Joyce Meyer was touched by the fire of God? She was laughing in the Holy Spirit. All these great men and women in the body of Christ that in the history and now that have been impacting the world have been touched by the fire of God in the big time. And I want to be one of them. And I want you to be one of them. I want you to be extraordinary Christians filled with the fire of God. Amen. Tonight I'd like to read the scripture. I'm going to read many scriptures to explain to you. First of all, I would like to start with, we don't have any PowerPoint, but you just listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 4 to 5. Listen carefully. This is what Apostle Paul said, which is really totally opposite to the way the church today is thinking. Apostle Paul say like this, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Everyone say demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Apostle Paul said that his preaching is not with persuasive words of human wisdom. I can identify with Apostle Paul because I cannot speak English very well. I cannot play with words and have joke and all these things. The only thing I can come up is to speak the truth. And I don't come with the persuasive words of human wisdom. When I want to preach like Apostle Paul, preach in demonstration of the Spirit. Something happened in the church. God is moving. Life is changed by the Spirit, by the power of God. Not because I say something nice that tickle your ear and make you laugh and make you happy. The power must be in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is doing something. You know, in the Bible, there are two kinds of demonstration of the Holy Spirit. One is spiritual demonstration of the Holy Spirit, which means spiritual gifts, such as healing, speaking in tongue, interpretation, the gift of word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, faith, miracles. All these are the spiritual gifts or the spiritual manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But there is also physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit that I would like to talk about. Because of the limited time, tonight I would like to talk about only one thing. There are many, many physical manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Before I go on to talk about physical manifestation, I want to remind you that electricity has been in the world for thousands of years since the creation of the world. God created electricity, but it took human beings many thousand years or many years to learn to discover electricity, the electron that run into the wire, okay? We're talking about the electron that running in the wire, that electricity. It took so many years that people find out how to store it and to use it. So now we can sit in this room with warm temperature, with all the light and microphone, which sometimes stop working, but that's okay. At least we have microphone to speak to. We have all these things. We have the musical instruments. Electricity is important and is very useful for today and is the natural power that God gives to us. But in the spirit realm, there is also spiritual power. What happened when you touch the electricity, like 110 volts on your hand? What happened to you? Huh? Your teeth will go like this, right? And your body will shake. Your hair may go up. You have goosebumps or you may fall down. Some of you may be burned. Your hand got burned because of the heat, the temperature on your hand. Our physical body will react to any power. When you have a big windstorm blow you, you're going to be thrown away by that power of the wind. Electricity, the same thing. When you touch the 110 volts in the electrical socket, you're going to have something happen to your physical body. The same thing with the power of God. When the power of God show up, something going to happen to your physical body. Some reaction going to happen. And today I would like to talk to all about one thing that we call the testimony of why by Jane called collapse. She used the word collapse. It means that she didn't grow up in the church. Because if she grew up in the church, it will call falling under the power. Slain in the spirit. That is a church terminology. Slain in the spirit. Falling under the power. She used the word collapse. When the power of God touches, we may collapse. Our leg may feel weak and we could not stand anymore. And that happened to me so many times in my life. Actually, the first few times that I was touched by God. Lately, less than before. I don't know why. But the first few times, I remember the first time I was laid hand by Pastor Benihin, I feel that electricity, the power of the Holy Spirit, and I will feel shaking and fall down. The second time happened in Portland. He came to the big meeting in Portland, and he didn't even touch me. When I came up to the stage, he called all the pastor. He just waved his hand like this, and he used this word all the time, touch. Touch, like this. And I feel the wind came against me, and I flew away about 5 feet. And the usher picked me up, and he said, pick him up! So I come up, and he touched again, and I flew again 3 times altogether on the stage. I never forgot that day. I don't know why he picked me 3 times. Maybe the grace of God. I got touched there by the wind of God 3 times, and I did not see the Holy Spirit. I did not see the power, but I know that when the power touched me, something happened to my body. I lost strength. I flew away by the power of God. You may think that what happened in the church, that people fell under the power, is something new in this century. No, it has been going on for centuries. All the evangelists in the old days, like John Wesley. John Wesley is the founder of Methodists. When John Wesley was preaching, people would fall out of the chair to the point that they thought that these people have a heart attack. Charles Finney, George Whitefield, all these people, Jonathan Edwards, Peter Cartwright, so many evangelists in the old day, when they preached the word of God, people would fall under the power. But because we never seen in our church or in our Christian circle that we think that it's something new. But actually it's not something new. It's been happening all this time, all this century. When God's presence touched people, something happened to them. They fall under the power or they collapse. Let's look in the Bible, in the Old Testament first. In the Old Testament, one of the men in the Bible, his name is Daniel. Look at what happened to him. I read from Daniel chapter 10, verses 4 to 21. I'm going to pick only certain verses to save time. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before was a man dressed in linen. So he met the Lord at that time. Daniel met the presence of God with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like crystallite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches. We're talking about the presence, the Greek language called theophany, mean the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the bodily form. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deadly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and I listened to him. I fell into a deep sleep, and my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. When Daniel saw the Lord, what happened? He lost strength. He was trembling and his face was on the ground. It's not only the culture of the people of God at that time that when they met the presence of God, they would be on the ground. They also were touched by the presence of God and they could not stand. Do you know that the way that we run the church nowadays come from the heathen way? When Christianity was very popular in the Roman Empire, at that time the church brought in the practice of the heathen. They worship the idols or their goddess and their gods. And in those kind of temple, in the meeting of those temple, how do? They have a priest who stand behind a pulpit. And then talk to the members, and the member will sit on the chair everywhere to listen to the priest. And after the meeting of those idol done, the worship idol done, people get up and walk out. That is the way that people worship idols in the time of Roman Empire. The church at that time, they went downhill. They did not obey the Holy Spirit anymore and turned into something else, into you know, religions that don't believe in the Holy Spirit, they welcome this kind of practice into the church. People come in, walk in, sit on the chair. Everyone look at the preacher, sing some song, and then walk out. But if you look at the real meeting in the early church before this happened, what happened? They meet at home, they sing song together, they worship together, the presence of God come up, people fall under the power, people just drunk in the Holy Spirit in the upper room. There is a real meeting at that time before the tradition come into the church. Because the presence of God show up, the building was shaken, something happening, the signs and wonder happened in the meeting. It's not just nice meeting, sitting on a chair and people sing a few songs, listen to a sermon half an hour, everyone go home. But we get used to that. So when we come to church and see people get touched by God and fall under the power, oh, what is going on here? This is weird. But it's not weird in the eyes of God. This is normal in the presence of God. But because we are brainwashed, we are trained by the tradition of the church today that it's just coming to church, sit for half an hour, listen to a 15-minute sermon, and then everyone go home, and that's it. But no one is changed. No one is healed. No miracle happened. Nothing happened. And it's at God's will. Daniel met the Lord. And the Bible says that, I bowed my face toward the ground and was speechless. He was so overwhelmed by the presence of God. Amen. Look at another example. In the book of Revelation, when John the apostle met the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Have you ever seen dead person move or stand up? Dead person could not move, could not stand up. And that's happened so many times in my life. When God touched me, I got the letter from Thailand that I went in November and about 1,300 people show up. And one lady, actually many people told me, not only one. They said that they got touched by God and they could not get up. They just feel paralyzed on the floor. They could not move with their arms. What happened to me? I could not move my arms and legs because their body is so overwhelmed by the presence of God. I remember seeing a lot of people dragged out from the meeting room like this into the car because they could not move like a dead person. This is what happened to the Apostle John himself. I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. One thing that I talked to God when I was a new believer, I came from a Buddhist background. I know Buddhists quite well, how they think. And after I turned into Christianity, I read the Bible, I study the Bible. One thing I say to God, God, I want to experience everything that you say in the Bible. I don't want just a little bit of Christianity. I want the full Christianity, the full gospel. If you touch John and he could not move, I want to experience that. If you show up and miracle happen, if healing come, I'm asking God right now that one day the shadow of our members just fall on the sick, they will be healed. Because it happened in the Bible. I ask God that one day the fire of God will show up in the roof here and people and come down and then everyone just run away and say, oh, the fire of God show up like in the tabernacle of Moses. If God could do that long time ago, God can do it today. But it's us that we are seeking or not. Are we believing that God can do that? Are we crying out to God that, God, I want to experience all the things you say in the Bible? Or we just want a little bit of Christianity? Just a little bit of the Word, a little bit of Holy Spirit, anything, everything, a little bit, a little bit. Actually, we never have enough of the Word and of the Holy Spirit. We should not be content with a little bit of the Word and a little bit of the Holy Spirit. We should want everything about the Holy Spirit. We want more of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I heard people say like this to me, Pastor, why you talk so much about the presence of God? Why are you so crazy about the presence of God? I almost ask back. If people ask me that question, I almost ask back, are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, you know God. Why don't you love to be in His presence? It's like this. If I marry Da, Pastor Da, and I say, Da, could you please leave my home and stay away from me? I don't need your presence in my home. I don't really love her. When you love somebody, you want that person's presence.
You want the presence of God because you love Him. You want Him to show up in your bedroom. You want Him to show up in your car. You want Him to show up in everywhere you go. Because you love Him. Christianity is not religion. It's about relationship. And relationship with the Almighty God. So Christians who love God will love the presence of God. Amen. We need to change the thinking, the mindset here in the church, that it's not about coming to tradition and coming to just a ritualistic meeting. We come to seek the presence of God together. And we want the glory of God to show up in the meeting. And if people are going to fall, that's fine. Amen. If your makeup going to go weird, your hair going to go messy, it's okay. John chapter 18 verses 1 to 6. When Jesus had spoken these words, He went out with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. This is just before He was arrested, which He and His disciple entered. And Judas, who betrayed Him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with His disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon Him, went forward and said to them. So these soldiers came with Judas, wanted to arrest Jesus, to hang Him on the cross, to kill Him. "Whom are you seeking?" Jesus asked. They answered Him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am He." And look what happened. Then Judas, who betrayed Him, also stood with them. Now when He said that, "I am He," they drew back and fell to the ground. When He said, "I am the Son of God," the power of God went out of Him. These people pulled back and fell to the ground. You say, that is the presence of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. But the Bible says, when two or three gather together in My name, I will be in the midst of them. So tonight Jesus is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at another example. Matthew 28:1-4. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of Him and became like dead men. These guards, these soldiers are not just a thin, slim, weak people. They are muscular. They have sword and spear. They are very well-trained soldiers. And when the angels of the Lord show up, what happened? They were like dead men. What happened to dead men? They are standing. What do? They lie on the ground. Could not move. Dead men cannot move, lie on the ground. These people in the presence of the glory of God, the angels show up, they were like dead men. They were on the ground. Lie down. Okay? That's another example. Another example in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus was transfigured, this is a glimpse of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He was changed from His normal human body into the glorious body that we're going to see Him in heaven. At that time when He was transfigured into the glorious body, what happened to the three disciples? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17 verse 6, and when the disciple heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. In the presence of the glory of God, the people in the New Testament and Old Testament fell to the ground. Look at Paul. Paul persecuting the church on the road to Damascus. The glory of God came and shone like the bright light, even brighter than the sunshine of the midday of Palestine. Can you imagine if you're standing in Palestine during the noontime? How strong the sunshine. Must be very strong. But this bright light is stronger than the sunshine. God show up. Look at what he said. Then he fell to the ground, Acts chapter 9 verse 4, and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What happened to Saul when the glory of God show up? He fell to the ground.
In Acts chapter 26 verse 14, and when we all had fallen to the ground, and when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. You can see here that even Apostle Paul fell on the ground when the presence of God showed up. I would like to explain that there are three kinds of people prostrating down or fall to the ground. There are three kinds. The first kind is we call voluntary prostration. They just voluntarily go down to the ground to show respect. In Luke chapter 17 verse 16, this leper fell down on his face or at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You know, sometimes you come to God and you want to show that you respect God. What you do? You kneel down or you put your face down to the ground to show that he's the king of all kings and you surrender to him. Voluntary falling down. The second kind of falling down or the second kind of going to the ground is in Matthew 26:36-39. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. At that time, Jesus knew that he was going to be arrested and he would be killed. He was really burdened. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. This is another kind of falling down on the ground because you have a heavy burden of prayer. You want to seek God and you say, God, I need help. You just fall on the ground and pray to God and say, God, help me. I have done that many times in my life. Sometimes I just lay on the floor in my bedroom and pray to God and crying out to God, God, I surrender to you. Could you please help me? I have this problem. I need this help. You show your humility and ask God for help. So number one, voluntary. Number two, in prayer. The last one, the one that I talk about tonight, is when a man or a woman is overwhelmed by the thick presence of God. When the presence of God touch you, you feel overwhelmed and your body could not stand. You just fall. In Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 28, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness of all around it. Ezekiel saw the glory of God. He came into contact with the glory of God. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. Ezekiel came into the presence of God and he was overwhelmed and he fell on his face. Amen. We like the presence of God to show up. Is that right? Amen. In the meeting, in our personal life, in our prayer closet, in our home. Would it be wonderful? The Bible said that the glory of the Lord came into the house of the temple of Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The cloud of glory came in and the priests could not minister. The priests were so overwhelmed by the presence of God. Some of them may be on the knees, some of them may be on the ground. They could not even function, the Bible said, when the presence of God showed up. Amen. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, we can see here again and again, that people fall under the power in the presence of God. I would like to read a few scripture and then end my sermon today. I just want to convince you that this is biblical. This is not New Hope International culture. This is not Pastor Lau idea. It's in the Bible. And we are practicing the Bible. Are we citizens of heaven? How many people are Christians here and citizens of heaven? Amen. What culture should we take? God's culture, the citizen of heaven culture, the heavenly culture. And this is the heavenly culture. In the Bible, every time the man and the woman of God come into the presence of God, they don't mind to fall to the ground. They don't mind to get dirty, their clothes. They don't mind to surrender. One time I asked God, why people need to fall down. And God said to me two reasons. This is a practical point. I want to explain to you. Because being a doctor, I always have questions. I ask questions all day when I see my patient. Why? What? How many days? What happened to you in the accident? How the car hit you? And what part of your body that you hurt? I ask questions all day long. That's my job. So I ask God questions all day long too. I ask God, why people fall down? And God said to me like this, two reasons. Okay, how desperate you need the touch of God. If you come to the prayer line and you say, I don't care that much about the touch of God. I'm fine. I have money. I have education. I am a good Christian. I know I'm okay. I know the Bible. I'm going to heaven anyway. God, I'm fine. If you're not desperate, it doesn't matter whether you fall or you stand or sit, because you are not desperate. You're fine. You feel that you are fine. That's why the Bible said those who are hungry, those who feel poor in the spirit shall be blessed. You need to feel that I am not fine. I need help. I need to grow. I need to change from glory to glory. I need more anointing. I need more power. I need more joy. I need more wisdom. I need more strength. I need more love. I need more peace. I need more of God in my life. If you get desperate, then if you're desperate enough, what can happen to you? If you're desperate, I remember when I met Pastor Da, she walked by my house when I was 15 years old. She was 14. She walked by my house. I was reading. I was a bookworm. I studied a lot. I looked up and saw that beautiful girl walk by, and I feel desperate. I say, I need to pursue this girl. So I desperate enough to spend all the money, all the time. I'll do anything to get Pastor Da to like me. In fact, at the beginning, she didn't like me at all. She didn't like me, she told me. But I was persistent. I was pressing in. I was pushing. I was really doing everything to really make her like me. Desperation. That's desperation for a girlfriend. But the same thing with God. If you're desperate enough, you do anything. If God tell you that I'm going to anoint you more if you stand on your head and the feet in the sky, will you do it? Oh, I would do it. I could just go like this. If he give me double portion of anointing and you have to stand on my head and the feet on the, in the sky for 1 hour, I do it. I'm going to go and just do it on the wall there right now. Because I'm desperate for more anointing. I'm desperate for more change. Are you desperate enough? I think that's the first question. Are you desperate to change? Do you believe that if the glory of God, if the fire of God touches you, you're going to be changed? If you believe it and you say, God, I need to change, and you're desperate enough, you're going to do anything He wants you to do. You are willing to do anything. Amen? Now, God showed me these two things. Number one, He said that you need to understand God created us. He is our designer. He created human being. Psychologically, if you come out to be prayed for and you stand like this, you close your eyes and say, God, touch me. And the preacher cannot wait too long because he has to walk away. Another 15 people waiting for him to lay hand. He need to walk away. And you stand like this and you say, I'm not going to fall. I'm going to fight. I don't want to. I need to keep my dignity. If I fall down, I lose my dignity. If you think that way, you stand like this. I can guarantee psychologically, physically, physiologically. You understand the word physiology? I mean the body function, physically and anatomically, everything about the body of a human being. If you can stand like that, I can guarantee in a couple minutes, you will open your eyes and you walk back to your seat and sit down and nothing happened. Because it's very hard to press in a standing position for a long time. It's very tiring and very distracting. You're going to get distracted by people walk around because you see everything. You're going to get distracted and you will never plug in and wait long enough for God to touch you. This happened to me many times. God did not touch me right away. When people lay hand, I just fall on the ground. I'll close my eyes and start to press in. Because I relax. I don't stand. So what happened? I don't have to hurry to get up to the chair. Thank God this church don't pick you up. We let you lay down. So, you press in and I notice sometime I wait for 5 minutes. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit just flow in and I begin to get drunk and I begin, or sometimes I get drunk for an hour. I just couldn't stand up, couldn't do anything because I was pressing in. Why? Because I'm desperate to be a better servant of God, because I'm desperate to change, because I really want God to do something in my life. I want to move from glory to glory to glory. I'm hungry. I don't want to be the same. I want to one day go to another nation and just wave my hand, people get healed. Demon come out. I want the power of God. I want to see the captive set free. I want to preach the gospel and people get saved easily. I'm not there yet, but I'm still pressing in. I am hungry. I'm desperate for the things of God. I'm willing to do anything. If I lie down to seek God and until God touch me, I will do it. That's one reason. First reason. The second reason God told me why he used this way in the revival service. Because he said, God gives grace to the humble. And God will oppose the proud. If you humble yourself, God will lift you up. To fall down in the intellectual mindset, like a neurosurgeon like me, is stupid. You lose your face. How come in the world this guy, neurosurgeon, famous on the east side? All the nurses and doctors in the east side know this guy. And he come out and people pray for him and he fall down. This is stupid. Is he crazy? This guy? Is he crazy? He fall on and lie on the floor with all the chews just pass by. All the bacteria on the floor. I mean, think medically. All the bacteria on the floor. He's crazy. But you know, I don't care. I rather please God. I want to humble before God. And God give me grace. God will give me grace. It's about humility. It's about yielding. It's about just receiving. It's not about falling. Don't look at the falling itself. I yield myself and humble myself before God, both in my heart and in my physical posture. I yield to God. God do something to me. Pastor Da rarely have manifestation in the church. She never cry, never laugh, never, she just, when I lay hand, she just yield, just go down. But she's so anointed. Like what Jane shared, she just yield, she just carefully sit down and lie down that day. When she got up, God healed her from depression and panic attack. Because she surrendered, because she yield. Amen? God look at the heart. So it's not about physical manifestation that you shake, you laugh, you all this thing or cry. It's about yielding. God say, okay, you yield to me, you surrender to me. I gonna do something for you. That's why in the Old Testament and New Testament, all the believers fell when they've come into the presence of God. Let me read quickly here to you and then I'm done. Genesis chapter 17 talking about Abraham or Abraham. Verses 1 to 3. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. Abraham, our father of faith, fell on his face in the presence of God. I think he purposefully fell down. No one pushed him. Okay? And no usher that day. Leviticus chapter 9 verse 24. And fire, this is when the Israelites went out of Egypt to go to the promised land. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. You see, the children of Israel, in the presence of God, they fell on their faces. Numbers chapter 20 verse 6. And so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And they fell on their faces and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. You notice here, when Moses and Aaron really yield to God, fell. The Bible says the glory of God show up. And that happened to me many times. I yield, the presence of God show up. he see that, oh, this guy is desperate. He really need me to touch him. I'm going to come and touch him. He's desperate enough. Amen. Willing to lose my face. I don't care about my face, about my reputation. I am desperate enough for God. Joshua, you think only Moses, only Aaron, and only Abraham. Look at Joshua chapter 5. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, why does my Lord say to his servant? He fell to the ground. 1 Kings chapter 18, the children of Israel in a time of Elijah. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is good. The whole children, the whole group of children of Israel fell to their face in the presence of the Lord. I remember many years ago, some people criticized the meeting in my church that what happened in this church that people fall down is not a norm in the Bible. It's not a norm. You know, sometimes people are so theological or doctrine. They look in the Bible. I don't see this is normal in the Bible. Why you guys fall all the time? This is not normal. So I studied the Bible. How many people, when you worship God, you lift your hand up? Raise your hand. You lift your hand up. Okay, good. The Bible says when we worship God, we lift our hand up. Is that right? We lift our hand and worship the Lord. So I studied the Bible. How many scripture in the Bible talking about lifting up hands to worship God? 14 times. And I studied the Bible about how many times people fell to the ground in the presence of God? 17 times. Which one more? Falling to the ground more than lifting up hand. But we practice lifting up hand, but when we fall to the ground, people will say, ooh, this is weird. This is unbiblical. No, it's in the Bible. 17 times. The other one only 14 times. So I can argue with those theologians. Amen. It's normal in the Bible. I want to help you to change your mindset. This is not weird. This is not strange. This is biblical. This is in the Bible that God touch people. People can lose strength and fall down, or people just yield. People just go down and surrender and humble toward God and say, God, touch me. The most important question, that the key, the heart of the question is, how desperate you want to be changed by God? In fact, the bottom line, if you feel poor in the spirit and you say, God, I need you more, please come and touch me. I believe God will do it for you. But if you come to God and say, God, I'm fine. I don't need you. You know, this is just another meeting that people fall to the ground. So what? If you think that way, it may not happen. Anything happen to you, because God will force you. God will touch the hungry. The key is hunger. The key is desperation and yielding. Amen. Are you desperate? Do you think you need to change? Let me ask this question. How many of you have some habit in your life that you are tired of and you want to get rid of? How many of you feel that, wow, sometimes I feel that my faith is so small. I cannot move the mountain. I need more faith. Raise your hand up. How many of you feel this way sometimes that, you know, I really want to love people, but I cannot love them. I want to have the love of Jesus in my heart. I want to have more love. Raise your hand up. How many people sometimes you see your relative, your brother, sister, or your kids, and you see them sick, and you want to lay hand on them, but nothing happened? No miracle happened? And you say, God, I need more anointing. I need more faith and more power to heal the sick. How many people feel that way sometimes? Amen. How many people feel that, God, if I speak to a certain situation, my faith will be so strong that the situation will be changed. I have great faith. Raise your hand up. You see, that's why the Bible says, from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Until we become like Christ. we are still far away from being like Christ. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, as the veil come out from our eyes by faith, we are changed from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of God. Thank God for all the theologians who study the Bible. Thank God for all the people who teach the Bible. Thank God for all the teachers in the body of Christ that teach the Bible deep, 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 the Bible. But I tell you, deep knowledge of the Bible alone is not enough. Because the Spirit that will give life and give liberty, not just the knowledge of the Bible. The Bible just changed your mindset, what you think. But to really walk in the power, walk in faith, walk in the character of God, you need the fullness of the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God still changed me and Pastor Dao every week. It's amazing. That's why I love the fire of God. He changed me. Every Sunday when I lay hand on people, the fire of God passed through me. I was changed that Sunday. I change every Sunday. It's fun. Every Sunday something happened to me. Oh, I cannot stop this because I'm changing every Sunday. I went home and something happened inside here. Something clicked. God take out something and put something in. He just have that job. He do something in me and in you. How many people have that experience that every Sunday you come, you get to pray for, you change. Something happened to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you hungry? Are you willing to lose your face today? Be embarrassed. Are you willing that your makeup will be a little bit off and your hairstyle maybe just mess up? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Prepare our heart to be hungry for the touch of heaven.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.